Hello, 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 everybody. It is me, Elias Martinez, host of the CEA CEO podcast, where we interview prominent business owners in the CEA field, but also document my successes and failures as a CEA CEO. So we'll be speaking to farmers, engineers, manufacturers, consultants, retailers, professors, and more as they tell us stories of their ups and downs that they have faced while developing their businesses. This first episode is the one that I was supposed to be putting out a few months ago. A few things came up, which I will explain at the next episode, which will not be as long, I promise. But you're going to notice that there's probably a difference in quality and tone. The show was recorded in several segments, as interruptions often do occur, but I'm going to do my best to prevent that in the future and try to do it all in one sitting. But yeah, without much further ado, here's the first episode. Enjoy. Hello, 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 everybody. I'm your host, Elias Martinez, and welcome to the CEA CEO podcast, the show where we interview and collect inspiring stories from the entrepreneurs and leaders involved with the controlled environment agriculture movement. First off, thank you for listening. I'm very excited to embark on this journey and equally excited to have all of you join me. I don't know where this podcast thing is going to lead, but hopefully can at least connect with someone hoping to get into the controlled environment agriculture field, allowing them to see what it's like to start from the very beginning. Maybe it just becomes an interesting oral portrait for my great-grandchildren. Who knows? But this show would not just be about honestly documenting my successes and failures as a CEA CEO, but to interview prominent business owners in the CEA field as well. Today's episode is going to be all about me. A lot has been happening over the course of the beginning of this podcast, so either way, I'm going to detail my journey and keep you all updated every week or two. Things are always changing, so one week I may be extremely up, and the next I could be extremely down. It might seem like I may be bipolar, but that's one thing that the SBA doesn't tell you when starting a business, is the delicate balance it takes when starting or running a company. So, a little bit about me and my day-to-day. I'm married, three children, I work 45 hours a week, currently pursuing a PhD in business, with tons of debt, of course, starting an urban farm business, this podcast, and I have also recently developed a little bit of an after-hours video game addiction. So, needless to say, my hours are all accounted for. As a CEA CEO myself, I'm the owner and founder of Cube Root, a small urban farm microgreenery based in Buffalo, New York. And when I say small, I mean small. Currently, everything is grown in my basement, tucked away in a small but cozy 10-foot by 10-foot room. A couple of shelves line the wall, large enough to fit about 10 trays of wheatgrass or microgreens, and a single TA LED light hanging above them. It does not sound like much, but this is the way that many urban farmers have started on their journey. There's room to expand to more than 10 trays, but for now, there's no need to. Going to order allows me to keep things lean, as I have yet to build a consistent demand. Sometimes it's kind of embarrassing admitting to potential customers that I grow out of my house. They usually seem not to mind, so maybe they're being extremely kind by not laughing in my face, or it's just my ego getting the best of me. My 9-to-5 is working a desk job for the government. Having a 9-to-5 is usually pretty typical of most urban farmers. Unfortunately, being an urban farmer does not guarantee you having health insurance, consistent paycheck, or any of those other fancy amenities afforded by even the most menial of jobs. Probably like most people, I'm fairly indifferent about where I work. I mean, it provides great security and a consistent source of income, but I often find myself wondering if this is it, you know, this cubicle life. My wife and I share vehicles, so when the vehicle's not available, I take the bus. Luckily, I live right on the bus route. That is basically a straight shot to my 9-to-5. Fortunately, I live in a quiet, clean neighborhood in a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house. It has a fairly large yard and 2-car garage. but from where I catch the bus, it's a 30-minute bus ride through one of the most abandoned communities in the city. The decay of the architecture is both beautiful and disheartening. It may come to no surprise that this commute is also where most of the daydreaming of my future agriculture empire occurs. More on that later. My job is mostly boring cubicle type of office work, not very fulfilling or exciting, especially if you have some sort of ADD like I do. This is also where a lot of my daydreaming and ideas of my business pile up. It doesn't help that I am often geeked up off of Cuban coffee most of the day, causing my mind to unravel like a fumbled fishing reel. It all started about a year ago. I just wanted to make an extra buck. I had been working at my current job for about a year. I was fortunate to have had it considering my previous one did not work out too well. It was apparent to me that within the first few months that the cubicle life was not for me. They say idle hands are the devil's tools. Well, in my case, I was getting a major case of the idle mind. I am a thinker, a problem solver, and a lifelong learner, so my thoughts began to drift, imagining more productive and enjoyable jobs which challenged me intellectually. I've always loved the idea of urban farming, but have never really thought I would be seeking out a career in it. I grew up in South Florida. As a child, having an urban garden filled with various fruits and vegetables, it was not a foreign concept to me. In fact, it made sense. This wasn't the case with most people, especially with those living right next door. The power of local food and sharing was shown to me when my mother, of Christian faith, gave some of our garden bounty to the neighbors who lived in the projects right behind her house. It was such a powerful act that the family we gave the food to eventually converted to Christianity and became leaders of their own church, using that as a part of their testimony. Food and love had changed the course of this young family's life. As a teenager, I grew up in the Redlands, a rural portion of Miami, basically on the fringe of the Everglades. My mother had recently passed away, and her parents, my maternal grandparents, stepped in to take care of my brother and I. Right away, my grandfather started to plant fruits and vegetables, as well as raising chickens. Being a first-generation American citizen, I was fortunate enough considering my background of my parents. Both my parents fled the country in pursuit of opportunity and freedom. My father came from the poverty-stricken mountains of the Dominican Republic. My mother and grandparents flew to Miami on a freedom flight, escaping Cuba and Castro regime.
So after a while, I got out of the Everglades. I graduated high school, and instead of going to college, which I couldn't afford, I joined the Navy. And like most young men do at my age, I made tons of friends, traveled the world, was getting into trouble, and even learning a couple of trades along the way. I got out after 5 years and headed back to Miami, where I helped my father with his graphic design business and eventually took it over. I met a girl there, got married, and eventually got divorced. Then I moved out of the city, met another girl, we moved to Seattle, got married, I got my business degree, had two beautiful girls, and then we decided to move to Buffalo, where we had another girl, and ended up having three beautiful children. Around that time, I got another degree, master's in international business. I had gotten a job, which I eventually lost, and then got another job. And now I'm here, talking to you, contemplating the next shift in my life. So how did I start on my path that I am on now? Well, like I said, I was always a proponent of urban farming and indoor agriculture specifically. I always thought that this would be the world's saving grace. It started simple enough after listening to a podcast where the guest talked about the virtues of broccoli sprouts. I looked into them and saw that they were a bit expensive, tried to make my own, and 5 hours later, I had fallen down the rabbit hole of microgreens. I was learning from the likes of urban farmer Curtis Stone, John from Growing Your Own Greens, and other randoms on YouTube, telling me about the profitability and opportunities of microgreens. I was hooked. This obsession coincided with an idea that I had in my head about the strengths and limitations of urban farming. So in true form to myself, I created a business plan and how this would work out. The concept I devised was to create an indoor co-farming workspace, very similar to a WeWork, but for urban farmers, which I'll talk about more later episodes. I immediately set up an appointment with the SBA for a SCORE mentor and proudly presented my idea. They were very enthusiastic and supportive of it, but quickly dispelled any notions of me actually getting a loan. I come from very meager means, so gathering a large sum or even a small amount of money for an investment into a new business was absolutely laughable. Not to mention my horrible credit, lack of collateral, and relative inexperience with indoor agriculture. But being the hard head that I am, I quickly started to formulate ways to raise my own capital. Microgreens seemed the way to go. They were highly profitable, mostly easy to grow, pretty quick to harvest, and not completely space intensive. I began to try to pitch investors, prematurely which I might add, to the idea, but they were too wary of putting any cash in. So getting funded by investors seemed to be equally as bizarre of a pursuit. I know my idea sounds crazy to invest in, but everyone seemed to love the concept. As time went on, I was picking up customers little by little, legitimizing my company. I eventually came into a podcast of Gary Vaynerchuk, and he got me to thinking, maybe this is the right time to start a podcast, documenting my journey, documenting successes and failures. Well, so now here we are. Hey folks, I hope you enjoyed that that episode, and I hope the difference in quality didn't affect the experience too much. So if you are one of the few wanting to change the world, please subscribe to the CEA CEO podcast. Until then, please share, like, and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, all of them at CEA CEO podcast. I repeat, that is CEA CEO podcast. You can find social media there. You can also visit us at CEACEO.com and subscribe to our newsletter. We'll also be posting our podcast on there as well. If you are a CEA CEO or know someone who is and would like to hear them featured on in a future episode, or you have any questions that you want me to read out loud and answer for you, please reach out to us at CEACEOpodcast@gmail.com. Just put in an appropriate subject heading. So if it's an interview, put interview. If you have a question, put question. Just kind of like that. If you would like to advertise on the podcast, email us with the subject heading advertising. Music for this episode was written and composed by Quincas Moreira. You can hear more of his work on YouTube and every other audio streaming devices. The podcast was brought to you by Cubed Root, Inc. You can follow them on all social media platforms at KUBEDROOT. That's KUBEDROOT, Cubed Root. All right, folks, I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you later.